All right, looking forward to an hour of pets craziness, pet problems being solved. Of course, we'll do that with Dr. Fiona. G'day.
How are you, Mark?
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Been a while.
Yes.
And Cheryl Shaw. Now, I'm lucky I was here on your week, so next week won't be your week.
Oh.
That's all right.
Badge watch internet. Today.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's have a
brooch
look.
Watch, sorry.
Brooch, that's all right. We'll forgive you. It looks like Bambi running downhill. Am I close?
Oh, Mark, almost. No? It's a dog that's very excited.
It looks like Bambi. I'm telling
it's
you.
It's Bambi. It's not Bambi. It's a very
it's a
happy
dog.
And he's got a stick in his mouth.
Okay, so a Bambi-looking dog has a stick in his mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll be talking about what?
Well, there's lots of dangers in dogs with sticks, so we're going to be talking about what to do instead of using sticks and what dangers can happen.
All right, that sounds pretty good. And if you have a question for our Pet Chat team today, 4921 6216. Everybody that makes their way onto the radio has the chance to score a $50 voucher from Dozer & Co. So keep that in mind as well. Pet Chat, Dr. Fiona is here, Cheryl Shaw as well. With I've been corrected on, and thanks, Fiona, by the way, for coming to my rescue as to why I initially suspected that that was a Bambi brooch.
I'll pay that excuse, Mark. The badge was a little bit skew-iff and it did look.
Well, we've straightened it up now. So those legs that look like Bambi's up in the air are now straight. And it's
well, it looked like the animal was running on almost a 90-degree vertical angle and it looked like
running on its front feet.
It did. But then when you straightened it out, it's like, okay, as it almost shape-shifted into a dog.
There you go.
It's a cute dog badge, actually.
It is. It's
brooch,
great badge.
Sorry.
Yes.
It's great. It's great.
Well,
Cheryl, dogs and sticks.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting one because sticks are a part of nature and we don't think of them as being something that's going to cause a problem. But lots of dogs use their noses and their mouths to sniff out things when they're going walking into the park and in the bush, and often they'll forage and find a stick. Now, as simple as that may seem, that the dog's carrying the stick around in its mouth, unfortunately, things can go terribly wrong. Sometimes the dog will chew on that stick, and when it chews on the stick, it can swallow it, and that can become, you know, stuck in the throat, but also it can cause injuries to the gums and put bacteria in there, and sometimes the sticks even get stuck across the palate. So there are a few things with just the mouth, but then there's the other things that can go wrong. Sometimes if a dog is carrying a stick along, it can actually hit the ground or hit a tree or another obstacle, and then the stick will spin around and impale the dog. So this is an area that you've really got to be, you know, very careful with. And sometimes you think, oh, it's just a small puncture wound. Whatever you do, if you think your dog has had an injury from a stick, make sure you go to the vet, because what you're seeing on the outside isn't necessarily what's going on the inside. So you might think it's just a small, you know, abrasion or a small cut. Sometimes those sticks can go in and damage quite a lot of area of the dog inside. And because it heals over on the surface of the skin, bacteria will start to breed in there and cause a problem. That's quite a common issue, isn't it, with what they call an iceberg effect?
Yeah, definitely what you're saying. Often what you can see is not all of the issue. So you can see the iceberg above the ocean, but underneath is that a big problem?
Yeah.
Potentially, definitely.
And so So with that sort of thing, a vet will obviously go in if they need to put a drain in and drain that area out, and the healing process will start. But it's so important, if any injury is there, to get to the vet. The other thing is too, often if you've got one dog playing with a stick, and if there's multiple dogs around or even just another one dog, a dog will pick up an item, whether it be the stick or a soft toy, and to initiate play, they will run up and show the other dog and then turn and run. Now, what will happen sometimes with that? The other dog will catch up and then they can get hit in the eye or anywhere on the body. So sticks are so dangerous. So if your dog is at the park or somewhere else and it picks up a stick, my advice is to take the stick off the dog and use something that is more, you know, sort of sensible, whether you're taking along a rubber toy or a ball or something else, so that the dog does have something to play with, because dogs love to carry things in their mouths. And this is one of the things with a stick. It'll be so proud of that find it's got at the park, but it is so dangerous. And as I said, such a simple thing, a stick, you don't think about the complications. I had a friend whose dog went to a daycare centre and got impaled by a stick. And boy, it was an incredible injury. So, you know, you don't think very much of sticks, but you can use a rubber toy. You can roll up a newspaper or roll up a magazine. Take that in your pocket and play with the dog at the park with that.
It's one of those things, Cheryl, isn't it, that you know, 99% of the time they're going to be fine. But that 1%, the potential for damage is so extreme that, yeah, you're always better taking something that, that doesn't have the chance of being stuck anyway.
And you just don't think. You see the dogs carrying. I've seen lots of dogs carrying sticks in their mouth. And, you know, you want to go up and say
don't
to the owner, you know, hey, this could be a problem. But it really is an issue. And that getting stuck across the palate, that's a really common. I mean, it happens with bones as well. But with sticks, they'll be chewing on the sticks. And my dog will actually find sticks in the yard and chew on them. So we have to make sure we're keeping all of the gum trees, you know, off the ground.
And they, if they get stuck between those top teeth, they can't get them out themselves because obviously their paws don't have that oppositional thumb like we do to just pull it out, so it can be really problematic.
Yeah.
G'day, Pam at Gateshead. We'd like to sort of back on a little bit of Cheryl's topic from earlier, dogs and sticks. Pam, what's happening?
Yes, Mark. Just tell people never, never, ever throw a stick for a dog, because I have seen it actually happen where a dog has jumped up to catch the stick. And it's gone through the mouth, down through the esophagus and pierced the heart.
You're 100% right, Pam. We agree with you wholeheartedly. As I was saying, they, you know, they're fun and they're probably fine and not going to cause problems 99% of the time. But that 1%, you get really serious, significant consequences. And it sounds like you've seen that too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the feedback there, Pam. Good afternoon, Robin at Fennel Bay. You have a little puppy that's blind and needing some toilet training, Robin. What's happening there?
Yeah, hi. I've got a little poodle.
Yeah.
He's about 20 weeks old, I think, now.
Okay.
And we've had him a couple of months. And I've just been trying to, toilet train him, and it's really, really hard. He's blind.
Okay.
And I've got another little poodle about the same age, and she sort of looks after him, and she's toilet training, getting on with it well, but little Stevie, he's just not getting it.
Okay. Are you having any success, Robin?
No, well, I've been taking them out together to do a wee in the backyard, and that a little female poodle will run out, do it, and then come back up onto the deck, and Stevie will go outside and then he'll run around for a while, and then he comes back inside and then wees on the floor.
Okay. Are you using any commands, any verbal commands, when you're wanting either of them to do a wee?
Yeah, I say wee-wee.
Okay. Okay. And is it successful in any way, Robin?
No, not at all. He just stops where he is in the house and does a wee wherever he is.
Okay, okay. And do they have access just sort of free range of the house or?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
in the bedrooms where the carpet is, I've got only the areas like they're wearing most of the time.
Yeah, okay, okay. Look, Even if you're starting off, if he's weeing, where if you catch him in the act, use that phrase, that wee-wee's phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he doesn't have the visual cues of his sister or, you know, his litter mate or your other dog going to the toilet, so he's not seeing it and associating with that word. So I'd start by using the word wee-wees, even if he's doing it in the wrong spot, and obviously lots of reward when he's doing it outside. Cheryl, have you got any other tips?
Yeah, one of the things I'd be trying to do, Robin, is the second dog that you have that is going to the toilet appropriately, placing a bell around that puppy's neck just so that the other dog learns to listen to that as a cue to go with that dog and follow the dog. Because then when your other dog's going to the toilet, the second dog is going to follow and more likely to urinate a little bit more appropriately. Because they'll be able to smell but also hearing the other dog's action. So I would try that as one of the things. The other thing I think you need to get back to is actually physically taking the dog to the toilet to the same space all of the time. So sort of work out the designated toilet area and physically carry the dog out place it down on there. Even trying a leash on it is a good idea because then it's not going to run away. And just saying your cue word, but also just then saying nothing, just standing there and being motionless, and then the dog will relax. And usually when they relax, they'll go to the toilet. So once it's been to the toilet, remove the leash, and then the dog can come back inside and follow the routine.
Right. Okay, then. All right.
So a couple of tips, yeah, a couple of tips, Robin. You should have some success with that, I would think. And if you're getting stuck, definitely give your vet a call or your local dog trainer.
Best of luck with everything there, Robin. We'll stick with the phone here. A reminder, every person that we put to air for Pet Chat today in the draw for the $50 gift voucher at Dozer & Co. All right, another puppy, this time from Hamilton. Good afternoon, Joanne. Your puppy likes to lick people an awful lot.
She does, yes. She's very friendly, and and I know it's very normal for dogs to greet that way, but I have two dogs, and
she's a licker, hey?
She's a licker. That's what my friend said to me the other day, is that she just likes to lick, and it's really difficult. But I would like to have a little bit more control over, you know, getting her to not do it so much.
Yeah, definitely, Joanne. So what breed is your dog?
She is a Havanese cross.
Okay.
And she also likes to put a nose on things. I would say that as well.
Yeah. And has she always done it, Joanne, or you think it's getting better or worse?
No, I think she's always done it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, when she's still, I thought she might grow out of it a little bit, but when she greets people, she's really excitable and she's young. But it, for me, she can stop, but mm-hmm. I know she wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of comments, Joanne. Often it can be a dog's way of soothing itself. So dogs that are maybe a little bit anxious or a little bit needy will often lick a lot. Okay. So that would be my first comment. The second comment is over the course of her life, she has learnt that if I lick, I tend to get interaction. So whether it's positive or negative, it's still interaction. So she's probably going to the new people and lick, 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 and they're either patting her or they're pushing her away or they're talking to her. So positive or negative, it's still acknowledgement, as far as she's concerned, that if I lick, I get attention.
Yes, and that's why for me, I've managed to stop her because I won't pat her while she's licking me.
Yes,
but it's hard to say to other people.
It is. Can be very hard. But you're right. That's what needs to happen. So whether it's her being on a lead next to you or something, if you're having other people there, or just sort of being really specific, maybe they need to sit on their hands or hold a cup of tea or something. Sherry, you look like you're about to say something.
There is another way you can go about it, Joanne. I have two poodles and one of mine would like to lick, but we have a no-lick command. So we just say, no lick, and she will stop licking. So a little bit like if someone comes, she will want to meet them and greet them. And the first thing is if she even puts her nose near anybody, it's, no lick. And they learn very quickly from that and will withdraw. So it's just like a new command,
just a new command.
That you've just got to introduce. And every time she licks you or somebody else, just no lick. And she'll learn quickly that that's not an acceptable thing. But using that correction of an it will usually help.
Okay.
Also sounds like from what you were saying earlier, Fiona, train the people to help train the dog.
Look, Mark, if I told you how much of behaviour work I do is due to the owner rather than the dog, you may not be surprised.
But Joanne, that's not you, that's your friends.
No. it's about teaching people how to respond appropriately to get the results that they want.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes they just don't have that skill set. They don't know what to do.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Best of luck with everything there, Joanne. Hope the gang have been able to put you in the right direction. We're here, of course, with Cheryl Shaw and Dr. Fiona. And a reminder, every call that we plop on the radio today is in the draw for a $50 gift card thanks to Dozer & Co. Raw and fresh pet food. Good afternoon, Louise at Glendale. Your dog's going through a bit of a change at the moment. What's happening, Louise?
Yes, he's 3.5 years old. He's a sausage dog.
Yep.
He weighs 12 kilos and 8 pounds. He had an ear infection and then he went on to steroids. Well, he's had the last one, but all he wants to do is eat.
Okay. So, Louise, how long has he been on the steroids for?
Well, I think it would have been probably 3 weeks.
And is it steroid tablets or they're in the ear drops?
Yeah, he had to have flush out with the ear twice a day.
Okay.
And then the steroids for the first 2 weeks, I think it was two every day,
mm-hmm.
and then two every second day or something,
yes.
and then one a day. So he's finished those.
Okay.
But he's up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So did this change happen when he first started the tablets?
Yeah.
I mean, you are on the money, Louise. So one of the side effects of steroids is an increased appetite and increased need to drink. Certainly now it sounds like he's been weaned off the steroids, which is what we want to do. Did he gain weight while he was on the steroids?
I haven't weighed him since he started it, but they said he has to go on a diet. I said, yes, I know that, but I couldn't put him on a diet while he was on the steroids because,
yeah.
as I said, when he gets up at 4, I take him out to the toilet,
mm-hmm.
and then I give him half his food because
mm-hmm.
he only has 2 little cups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I give him that. And then when he gets up again, maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, I give him the other half. And then he's eating all through the day because he's just so hungry.
Yeah, so now that the steroids have gone out of his system, they won't be having the same effect. They won't be causing him to still want to eat a lot if you're in the process of weaning them. What we potentially have created, though, Louise, is a habit. Okay, so if his new habit is mum and I, we get up, we go to the toilet at 4 a.m. and then I get my food, he doesn't realise that that's not the new normal. He's like, awesome, 4 a.m., that's when I get fed, and then at 7 I get fed again, and then I get fed later on. So I think potentially he's learnt from the past few weeks that that's what happens. So our challenge now is to retrain him to make him realise that this is not actually the way that we're doing things moving forward. Does that sound...
And is yogurt good for him?
Yogurt?
He has yogurt.
A little bit is fine. Again, if we're trying to get him to lose weight, I wouldn't be using a lot, and I'd definitely be using light yogurt.
Right. I was thinking maybe stir-fried veggies.
So any non-carbohydrate vegetable, go for it. So carrots are popular, broccoli is popular, cauliflower is popular. Stay away from your potato and sweet potato because that's obviously higher in carbohydrates, particularly if we're trying to get him to lose weight. But just be aware also there are specific dog foods that are formulated to help dogs lose weight, and they are very high fibre to make the dogs feel quite full.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And some of the ingredients that they have are designed to have function within the brain to make them actually feel more full, because it can be really hard to get them to lose weight if all you're doing is decreasing their calories. So that's a good option to keep in mind, and definitely have a chat to your vet if you want some more advice with that.
Okay, then. And he does love mandarins. I give him about half a mandarin a day.
Oh, look, I'd be backing off that a little bit. It sounds like Louise may well be on a smorgasbord from breakfast, lunch and dinner. So you may...
But the tree's empty now, so there's no more.
Yeah, I'd be having a chat to either your vet or your vet nurses, and just have explain to them exactly what he's getting fed all through the day, and they can advise you with ways to move. But, yeah, best of luck with that.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Louise.
Okay, bye.
This is the time we sort of get all very excited and about, you know, giving someone the opportunity to expand their family with a pet show. You mentioned earlier you reminded our lucky listeners that you only got two dogs. What about a third?
No.
Dave says no.
Dave says no, and the inn's full.
Inn is very much full. Well, you know, as it is, you're keeping the sticks away from the others, so we don't want to load you up with too many chores.
No, that's right.
Mm. All right, let's start with our pet of the week. Let's start with our dog of the week, Willow, the 3-year-old black lab, and a gorgeous looking dog, ladies, I must say.
Yeah, beautiful looking Labrador. And Labradors on the whole have a really lovely, wonderful personality, very happy, very friendly, love of being with their family and being involved in whatever's going on. She looks, super cute, 3 years old, is getting as some training, but in a typical Labrador form, loves food, loves cuddles, would more than likely need a slow feeder bowl if you're going to feed her, because she'll eat everything, possibly from the bench as well as the floor. But I think, we'll need a bit of time to settle into a new family. She definitely likes being with her family. So if you're out all day at work, probably not the one. And, yeah, just time and effort putting into some new training, and maybe a little bit scared for new things. But, yeah, she's got good bones moving forward, I think.
All right, that's Willow, the 3-year-old black lab. And black is the colour of the day because Eve, a black domestic domestic long-haired cat, and a gorgeous thing, very small considering she'll be 2 in a couple of months.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe the photo is just deceiving, but she does look like a very petite little thing. The information we've got says she'll probably be best as an only cat and not a big fan of kids. So maybe, you know, some adults in the household or some adult kids, but I think she probably would do things on her terms, as cats tend to do.
Probably likes the environment to be a little bit quieter. I think that's probably the overarching thing. What do you reckon, Cheryl? A bit like the rest of us, yeah?
But she is going to take some grooming, so that's one of the things to put into consideration there. We want to make sure that this cat is well cared for and that it gets lots of brushing as well with being a long hair.
Definitely.
All right, if you'd like some information about our dog and cat of the week, head up to our website. You can find the Pet Chat area and go from there at 2andyrfm.com.au. G'day, Phil at Maitland. You need to deter some cats in your area. What's the story, Phil?
Well, we have a lady next door that has the cats in cages, and then we have a lady on the other side that has 5 cats that just roam the place all the time.
Yeah.
Our lovely gardens at the front are continually being dug up, and their business is being dropped on there. We put branches and things there, but anywhere where it's dry, they'll scratch around and do their business. And I've tried all kinds of things that you can buy and powders. And I just wondered, have you got any idea if there's something that can deter the cats from, you know, doing their business and on your gardens, please?
Well, first and foremost, Phil, I guess I'm not 100% sure whether your neighbours are doing the right thing. I would be maybe just placing a call to your council. If it is an issue, or if people are doing the wrong thing, definitely that shouldn't be happening. Cheryl?
Yeah, deterring the cats, Phil, in the garden. Cats don't actually like citronella oil. So if you've got some mandarin skins or orange skins, lemon skins, things like that, pop those in your garden because it will deter them from going there.
Okay.
We would be lucky. It might end up being that simple. So good luck and best of luck with everything for you, Phil. Our last one for today, good afternoon to you, Russell at Morpeth. You got a query about a dog. What's happening there, Russell?
Yeah, I've got 2 golden retrievers. One's old, nearly at the end of his life. But the younger dog, he's 2.5, and he doesn't bark enough. Like, you know, people going past or whatever, he runs to the gate, but he doesn't say anything. And I just wonder, because when he was little, I took him to the dog park every day and to socialise him, and he sort of likes people and other dogs. So is there anything I can do about that?
Russell, you have a problem that most of the world wishes they have. look, what I would say, I don't think you have a problem. I think you are incredibly lucky. You have a dog with a beautiful temperament who, you're right, is happy and well socialized and is wanting the interaction with others. What I would say is, from a security point of view, if you're worried about people maybe coming into your yard or from a security point of view, I probably wouldn't be too worried. Okay. People aren't going to test the dog, you know, whilst it may be friendly, they're not going to put it to the test. And I don't really think there'd be anything you could do really that would encourage them to bark more. I think you've got a great problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's just the ideal dog you have.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, he sounds beautiful. So, yeah, you're very lucky.
So maybe you should be teaching courses for other people, Russell, on how to get the problem you got, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Have a lovely day.
Yeah. Again, I was listening. I'm thinking I'm waiting for the problem to happen. There was no problem.
I think there are hundreds of thousands of people that wish they had Russell's problem.
All right, we can wish, you can only hope, I guess. All right, well, we've come to the end of our time, ladies. So a pleasure.
Lots of great questions today.
They're all great questions. Mm-hmm. But somebody must win that $50 at Dozer & Co. And we've just sort of we've closed our eyes, pointed at the chart, and we have come up with Joanne. That was the lady, you may recall, with the puppy that licks
have
everybody.
Have an ease cross, I think, from memory.
You're doing better than I am.
Well, yeah, it's on a need-to-know basis.
And I don't need to know. Cheryl, what do you reckon? We've done well there?
Absolutely. Great callers, fun game. Enjoyed it.
And congratulations, Joanne. We'll be in touch with you to get all of that sorted out. All right, that has been Cheryl Shaw, Dr. Fiona for Pet Chat. Another one coming your way next Wednesday from noon at 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.